All right. Well, what a blessing to be here. As Dan said, I'm Pastor Gary Kuchnowski, and I'm blessed to be here with you guys. Every time I come, it's just such a great time, and to gather together as men and as believers, and then in December to be able to have our families here. And I was really blessed that my girls were all willing to get up this morning and come with me. I think I was blessed. Dan was talking about how, you know, we're getting older and we know it. And this morning I dropped something on the floor and someone could bend down and, you know, the groanings and utterances that come out when, you know, I'm like, ah. Oh. And then one of the girls goes, what's wrong? I go, oh, nothing. I just had to bend over. And I go, you know, I'm getting old. And well, one dog, I won't even say who it is, Faith. But anyways, she goes, yeah, Dad, you know, you're getting old. One wrong move and it's over for you. So I'm like, oh, great. Thank you. So I'm like, you know, you don't have to agree with me just because I say it. But open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 8, verse 1. Joshua 8:1. And this morning we're just going to be looking at verses 1 through 3. So we'll read that together. It says, now the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise and go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And you shall do to Ai and its king as you did to Jericho and its king. Only its spoil and its cattle you shall take as booty for yourselves. Lay an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you, we thank you for just your grace and your mercy, your mercies that are new every morning. And Lord, we just thank you for your presence here and the opportunity that we have to gather together, to worship you, to get into your words, and Lord, to see the power and the strength and the encouragement that there is in your word, and most of all, the love that is behind every word that we read. We ask for your hand and your blessing to be upon us, especially, Lord, as we approach this Christmas, Lord, and a time for us to just truly celebrate in your birth, that you came to earth for us. And Lord, we ask for your hand and your blessings to be upon us now. Open up our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Get Up and Go. And, you know, I don't know if you're like me, but when I was a kid, and maybe you kids didn't, I don't want to give you any ideas, but when I was a kid, I always wanted to know what I was going to get for Christmas. And, you know, I know I'm dating myself, but when I was young, what we would do is go through the Sears catalog. And, you know, I couldn't wait for the Sears catalog to come, and then I would start going through it, and I'd go, to the toy section and look at all the toys and mark them and everything, and you know, and then I'd tell my parents what I wanted, and, you know, I was excited. And I was especially excited because I had one uncle that I could tell him whatever I wanted, and Uncle Eddie, and he would always get it. I mean, I never failed he would get it. So, you know, as Christmas draws near and the presents are under the tree, and I'm dying. I'm like, you know, I'm up shaking and listening and saying, you know, okay, is this the right size box? And, you know, one year I even tried unwrapping one and then wrapping it back up, and I did a terrible job. I got in big trouble. And so don't do that, kids. That is not a good idea. So, but one year I told my uncle, I go, I want this spy set. And, you know, I had marked it in the Sears catalog. I told him what page it was. I said, you know, this is what I want. And it was going to be a big box. I knew it was going to be a big box. And sure enough, right before Christmas, my uncle dropped off this big box, and I'm like, I know what that is. I am so excited that I'm going to get this spy kit. It has everything. It has binoculars. It has walkie-talkies. I mean, I'm like, I'm going to be the coolest kid on the block. And so Christmas morning came, and I was like, I couldn't wait. I ran downstairs, and that was the first one I went to. And I went, and I ripped the wrapping off, and it was a tea set. And I'm like, what is this? And, you know, well, actually, I started crying. I'm like, this is not what I want. This is a tea set. It's for girls. What is this? You know? And I guess my uncle got the packages a little mixed up. I did get the spy set later on. But, I mean, I'm like, I was disappointed. And, you know, sometimes in life, we think, you know, well, this isn't what I wanted. This isn't what I asked for. And so as we look forward to what's coming ahead, sometimes it's with great excitement and anticipation, and we think, oh, this next year is going to be a good year for me. Or maybe we think, wow, this last year was really bad, so I'm sure this next year is going to be just as bad. And, you know, and we just kind of have maybe mixed emotions. Or maybe even we're a little bit hopeless. And you know, as we come into the Christmas season, I used to be a police officer, and you know, Christmas is a really hard time for a lot of people. And so, you know, it's as we come to this time, and a time when we're supposed to be celebrating, and we think, well, really, what are we doing? What am I supposed to be celebrating? And you know, and as we look at the nation of Israel here in Joshua chapter 8, in Joshua chapter 7, they had actually just been really badly defeated. They had come from a victory at Jericho where they saw the walls come down and God just moved mightily. They got to Ai. They sent some guys out there. The guys came back and they said, you know what? All we have to do is send a few guys up there. We can easily conquer this city. Don't even worry about it. Matter of fact, Joshua, you don't have to pray about it. Just go. Send a few guys up there and we'll go after them. And so they did that. He didn't pray. He just sent the guys up there. And they got defeated. And matter of fact, not only did they get defeated, but they took off running in shame. And they found out later on it was because it was sin in the camp and the sin of Achan and everything else. And so now they're going back and they're supposed to fight Ai again. And I don't know, but with me, I'd be like, well, you know what? Maybe we could just go around. You know, and it's kind of embarrassing to go back there. We don't want to go back there. And what happens if we get defeated again? But you know, this time, they did it differently. This time, they sought the Lord. This time, God is the one that led them into battle. God is the one that gave them the battle plan, and God's the one that told them that they were going to win the battle. And so as we come into this new year, I want us to you know, just to give us 3 points. Dan talked about Pastor Chuck and his 3 R's. I also have 3 R's for you as we approach the new year, and what our heart is, what our attitude is, how we go forward into the battle. And they are, first of all, respond to God's call. Secondly, receive all that God has for us. And three, then return to the battle. Respond to the call, receive all that God has for us, and return to the battle. So our first response as we're facing the new year is to respond to God's call. The first response of Joshua and the nation of Israel was to deal ruthlessly with the sin in their camp and to repent before the Lord. And so if we do have something that, if we do have sin in our hearts, if we do have something that we've been holding back or holding in or what, hiding, whatever it might be, the first step is to repent before the Lord. But know this too, that it's God that's calling us back to Him. It's not that, you know, it used to be when I was a kid. I guess, you know, when you get older, you talk a lot more about what things were like way back when, you know. And so, you know, when I was a kid and I did something wrong, you know, and my mom got mad at me, the worst thing that I could hear was, wait till your dad gets home. Because then it's like, you know, the hammer's coming down. And it's like, how can I hide? Maybe I can run away before he gets home. And, you know, and it's just like, you know, maybe I can stuff a pillow in the back there so when I get the SWAT, it won't hurt that much, and which never worked. But, you know, it was always with that sense of dread. But our Heavenly Father, he's waiting for us to come to Him. He's waiting for us to come to Him in repentance. He's waiting for us to come back to a relationship with Him. When we do things that are wrong, then it's sin. It's our wrong actions, our wrong motives. I don't know about you kids, but we always tell our kids, you know, it's the attitude of your heart. You know, it's not just what you do, but it's why you do it. Do you do it out of love, or do you do it because you have to? And God's calling us in His love back to Himself. Not to hit us over the head and not to, you know, to whack us with a 2x4, but to wrap His arms of love around us. Israel had failed miserably and they had faced a humbling defeat. And of course, it would have been normal for them to say, well, what happens if the same thing happens again? What happens if we lose even more men? We've already blown it. Why would God fight for us now? That's what Satan tells us. He lies to us and he says, God's not going to forgive us, or God's done with us, and we're of no use to Him, so we might as well give up. But nothing can be further from the truth. In 1 John 1, verse 7, it says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I memorized that. Do I get anything for it? I'm just kidding. You know, nothing's hidden from God's sight. He sees us. He knows our every action. You know, and sometimes, you know, maybe we think we got away with that. I remember one time we were moving from our old house, and we were moving the beds from our kids' room, and we find all these candy wrappers under their bed, and we're like, oh, what's all this? And they're like, well, you know, that was a long time ago when we used to sneak candy and eat it in bed. And then, you know, and then one of the kids had taken a raisin and stuck it down the nightlight and screwed it back on to see if it was still going to work. And then I'm like, what's this? Well, you know, it's an experiment, you know. And so we always think, well, no one's going to know. And it's okay. Well, God knows. And He knows, because all of a sudden the relationship between us and God is interrupted. And, you know, kids, it's like when you do something wrong and you're wondering, oh, does my mom know? Does my dad know? You know, and it's like they look at you and you're going, oh, they know. Do they know? Oh, I don't know. Do they know? And it's like, and you're living in fear because you're afraid something's going to happen, or you're afraid you're going to get caught. And you know what? You're going to get caught. So you might as well just confess it. So, amen, yeah. Well, same with God. He just wants us to come to Him. And when we do go to Him and we do confess our sins. He is so faithful to cleanse us, to forgive us, and then to cleanse us, to make us new, just like we've never sinned before. In Isaiah 30:15 says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest you shall be saved, and quietness and confidence shall be your strength." It's in returning to God, it's in resting in Him that we find our salvation. So, you know, again, as we approach Christmas and it can get so busy and we're running around doing this or that or preparing for Christmas dinner or, you know, getting presents for the kids and all that stuff, you know, God never designed that. He wants us just to be with Him and to rest in Him. And He wants us just to enjoy His presence. And so I really pray that that's what we'll do, that we'll respond to God's call to come to Him. The second thing we need to do is to receive all that God has for us. God has said to Joshua, "Don't be afraid or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. Arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land." In response to Israel's repentance, in response to Israel's responding to God's call, God encourages Joshua. He tells him, "Don't be afraid." Do you know that 365 times in the Bible it says, "Do not be afraid"? That's one time for every day of the year. And why is that? Because God knows that we're prone to fear. God knows that we're fearful creatures, and we may act like we're not, or we want to be tough, or, you know, we're men, we're not afraid of anything, and yeah, we are. And so God tells us, "Hey, if I'm with you, you have no reason to be afraid, whatever it is you're facing, but especially the unknown." And that's what the future is for us. It's unknown. We don't know what next year is going to be like. We don't know who the president's going to be next year. We don't know what new laws are going to be enacted. I never thought we'd have the laws that we have right now. But you know what? God is still on the throne. And He's still in control. And we need to trust Him and not be afraid. Oftentimes when we fall into sin or face overwhelming circumstances, we're afraid to get back into the work. But we need to ask God for forgiveness, repent of our sin, and then we get back into the battle. And when we get back into the battle, God promises us that He will be with us. God promises us in Philippians that He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. He promises us a peace that passes all understanding. He promises us love that surpasses knowledge. This is where our strength comes from. God's assurance that He assures them that He's already given them the victory. And He assures us in Christ that we have the victory no matter what. I love what Billy Graham always said. He always said, "You know what? I've read the end of the book and God wins." God wins, and so do we. We win no matter what. No matter what can happen to us, no matter what the worst thing that can happen to us, God wins. And we need to remember that. We need to remember where we're going. Where this earth is not our home. We're on a journey. On the way home, we're going to heaven. Maybe even this coming year is when God comes and raptures the church, and then we're all out of here. We're all going to be with Jesus forever. And what a joy that will be. But until that, we need God's strength. We need God's strength for every day. Well, once we respond to God's call, receive from God His grace and strength, and then we need to return to the battle. Verse 3, "So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night." We know that God has forgiven us. We know that He's with us. We know that all He desires is fellowship with us. And so now, we just need to get up and go. At the Red Sea, Moses exhorted the nation of Israel to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 13, it says, Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." The Israelites were complaining, and they were saying, you know, "Hey, what is going on here? You know, here we fled from Egypt, and we thought, oh, now we've got our freedom, and we're wandering now through the desert, and now we're at the Red Sea, and we have Pharaoh's army coming down on us, and we have nowhere to go. We're going to get wiped out." And they even said to Moses, "Is it because there were not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die?" You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing this message in Mexico, and I was using a translator. And you know, there's always something that comes up when you're translating. You know, and even though the you know, either the person maybe doesn't hear you right, or anyway, so I said this first, and I said, "Was it not because there was it because there wasn't enough graves in Egypt that you brought us out here to die?" And they all started laughing, and I'm like, "That wasn't funny," you know. And then they're all saying something, and I'm going, what just happened? And Pastor Chris yells out, he goes, "He didn't say graves, he said grapes." So he said, "Was it because there wasn't enough grapes in Israel? In Egypt, that you brought us out here to die?" I'm like, "Oh wait, that has nothing to do with my message. I just remembered that." So he told the Israelites, "Hey, God's going to fight for you." But then, you know, between verse 14 and verse 15 of Exodus chapter 14, you almost get the sense that there was hesitation on Moses' part, because God said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Tell them to move forward. Tell them to get up and go." Sometimes fear paralyzes us, and we don't want to move. Or we just feel like we're stuck. We feel like we can't move any further, or we've done too much, or we can never go further. Whatever it is, maybe we're too young, maybe we're too old, or we can't do this, or the obstacles are too big. And God's saying, "I will fight for you." God's saying, "The battle's not yours, it's mine." And He's saying, "Move on. Get up and go." So what do we do in this coming year? We get up and go. We go and we fight in the Lord's strength, and we fight for the Lord. I ask you guys to pray for us. Carol and I, in actually 3 weeks from today, we leave for Uganda and South Sudan. And I haven't been back to South Sudan. It's been almost 14 years. We're going to Juba, and so, you know, as I'm making all the arrangements and talking to my friends there, and they said, "Don't worry, you know, all the vehicles that we're going to get you, they're armored." And I'm like, "Armored?" And they're like, "Yeah, bulletproof." And he goes, "And as an added bonus, they give bulletproof vests to everybody in the car." And I'm like, "Okay." And so it's like, Carol, you know, it's a little bit dangerous where we're going, but you know, the most important thing is that God's calling. And so we need to be willing to move out, even if we are afraid. God says, "Don't be afraid," because He knows we are afraid. And we're going to have fear. And that fear is normal. So when we have those times of fear, we need to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me." So I do ask you guys to pray for us. We're going to be in South Sudan. We leave here on the 4th. We arrive in Uganda the 6th. We go to South Sudan on the 7th, and we're there for 4 days. So if you could just be 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th, be praying for that us. And then we're in Uganda the rest of the time until the 22nd. So we would really covet your prayers. And then when I come back on the 15th, I'll let you know what happened. So. Well, what happened with this story? They had the victory. And they won it in a big way. You know, God had a plan. And he told them, okay, this is a plan. When you go into battle, what I want you to do is I want you to take half your men, split them up, keep half behind the city of Ai, half you will attack the city, and then when they start to fight you, then you run like you did last time, like you're afraid. And then they're going to come out of the city after you, and then the other part of the army that you left back will go in and they'll demolish the city. And so that's exactly what happened. And they won a great victory that day. But the most important thing to remember is they didn't do it in their own strength. It wasn't their own strength. It wasn't even their own plan. It was God's plan. And we need God's plan for our life. And where do we get that? Right here. It's in God's Word. We need to be in God's Word. We need to be reading God's Word and sharing God's Word and spending time and studying God's Word. And we need to be hiding His Word in our heart. Are we ready for the battle? It's time to get into the fight. It's time to take a stand for the Lord. When God called Gideon into the battle, He told him, "Go in this strength of yours and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" God is sending us, each one of us, out for Him. To win souls, to share the love of Jesus with others, to tell them of the hope that is found only in Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Father God, as we come before You, we thank You, Lord, for the blessing of Your presence. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that You would just move and work in a powerful way in our lives. And that, Lord, as we prepare now to partake of communion, that, Lord, You would just bless this time. And, Lord, that Lord, You would remind us of Your sacrifice on the cross for us. We thank You, Lord, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we partake of communion now, in Luke chapter 22, in verse 14, it says, "When the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. And then He said to them, 'With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.' Then He took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And He took bread, gave thanks, and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you.'" So, Pastor Francisco is going to be sharing with us again and worship. And what I encourage you to do is just, you know, spend a few moments just to meditate on the Lord. It's okay to remember this last year, but look forward and trust to the year ahead, to what God has for you. And this is the time to get right with the Lord. If there's anything that you need to confess, anything that you need to go before the Lord,